The following program was recorded on the stolen and unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. We pay our respects to elders, ancestors and warriors, past and present. We acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded and the struggle for decolonization continues.
Okay, well then, welcome to this special Radiothon edition of the Squatters and Unwaged Workers Airwaves show. We've got a collection of various presenters who normally speak on this Friday. Normally we have Suze doing a show today. She's not available. She's otherwise occupied. But we have I'm Kevin and my co-host Anne.
Hello, Kevin.
How you doing? We're from Unemployed Workers Fight Back, and we also have Tilda and Jordan from International Workers. How you going? How you going, guys? Girls.
Hello.
Okay, got to pull you up. It's the industrial workers of the world.
Industrial workers. This is terrible, isn't it? Industrial workers. I was thinking international workers of the world because you know I'm Billy Bragg orientated. There you go. Yeah. So here we all are.
It's great to be kind of part of a bigger show and working with the people who do the other weeks of this great program. So
yeah, thanks for having us.
To see you across the airwaves on Zoom.us application.
Yeah. So we're supposed to on this show. I'm just having a look at the heading of the sewer show because we all do our own versions of it. Mm. But it says here that the squatters and unwaged workers support and promote those resisting social order and trying to create an alternative to it. Is that what we do?
More or less.
Yeah. It sounds like us.
Try our best anyway.
Yeah.
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 In our own little way.
We're coming from different angles. Personally, like often I think that in these situations, we don't have a large listenership. And sometimes you wonder what impact that we actually make. What's the point of being here, sprouting off these opinions week after week, month after month, year after year? Do we have any impact whatsoever? And I guess in some respects, it's good to think about the alternative. What if we weren't here? How would this place be if we didn't have all these little pockets of resistance?
I can tell you how it would be because I lived in the US for a little while.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of you have had this experience, but I was desperately searching for media that wasn't just, especially when I was tuning in on, especially when I was moving the dial. And all I could find was either revival religious stuff or country music or right-wing conspiracies. That's what it's like not to have something like 3CR.
Yeah, no, I think it, like the stuff we make over at 3CR is absolutely so special and so unique, you know, like the idea that, you know, shows as kind of like specific as ours get to come under this wonderful banner of, you know, like unemployed workers getting a whole show and like, yeah, you don't really hear it anywhere else. And I like to think, like, in terms of our impact as well, like I like to think, you know, we had a show with Anastasia from the NTEU a couple of weeks ago, who's, you know, leading a campaign for change for the tertiary education workers union over there. Mm-hmm. And like that one really resonated pretty far and wide, and a lot of people like listened to that one, and it really kind of got Anastasia's message out about like the campaign that, like, you know, lightning strikes every now and then and you can tangibly see like, oh wow, we did something good this week. But like, you know, in terms of just existing in itself, it's just like such a precious thing to have. Hey.
And the reason why we are together, it's our desperate need for money.
Oh, we're broke.
Yeah.
That's what brought us all together. So
the very thing that we hate and detest, the thing that we complain about the most, the whole system, the corrupt system, we are actually trapped by it to some degree.
Well, we are living in a monetary system, as we always say on our show. So maybe I'll just let people know that this is the show where we're reminding you that the reason that we are able to be on air is because we are listener supported. And we only do this once a year. We're only going to sort of annoy you once a year just to remind you to, you know, look, if you do have a, if you do have like a budget for donating to good causes, now's the time to check how much you've got in there that you might swing our way. And if you're up for doing that, there's a few ways that you can donate. One is to go online to 3cr.org.au and just hit that donate button. And then be sure to mention the sewer show. Or you can call us right now. You can, I think.
Well, yeah, but that's the idea. We'll have people, we're pre-recording this obviously, but this is going to go to air at 5:30 on Friday. There's people in the station, and give them a ring. They'll take your donation, take a message, and please say it's for the sewer show, because that's going to help us meet our goals and, you know, demonstrate that we've got some impact here in the world.
So 94198377 if you want to call in.
What was that number? Sorry, Anne, I missed that.
It's the 03-9419-8377.
You just call up and just hand your money over, and then we can continue in existence. That's fantastic. It's a very good system.
I just want your credit card number, your Medicare card number,
your PIN number, all that sort of stuff.
Passport. Fingerprints.
But yeah. None of that. Just ring us up and we'll tell you how you can send the money our way so that we can continue this show. Now, I just have a small thought, Anne, because we've only been doing this show for a couple of years in its current format, where we do Unemployed Workers Fight Back, and we took over the show less than 2 years ago.
A month before the whole lockdown started.
That's right. That's correct. And it occurred to me that was not long after the 2019 election. And I was so disappointed after the 2019 election to see the Conservative regime reestablishing itself. I just thought, how could this possibly have happened, and what went wrong? And I don't want to, you know, make this into a competition with all the other shows, etc. But it does occur to me that our show wasn't airing before the 2019 election, but it was airing before the recent election, and we possibly may have caused
a
spill in the culture. I'm just a little bit, maybe a little bit, maybe not you and I, but maybe we spoke to somebody spoke to somebody else.
Your logic reminds me of people who got vaccinated and then got a headache, and then decided that the vaccination caused their headache.
Exactly. So, and that took hold across the world. It's a very strong movement, and we might possibly have looking at. I'm not suggesting that, but what I am suggesting is all these little small efforts made by all different people in across not just 3CR, but the whole fringe movement of keeping progressive thought alive is important, because it. Mm-hmm. It reaffirms other people who then gain confidence that they're not the only crazy person on the face of the earth, and that things really do need changing. And that is best expressed through community radio on stations like 3CR and other stations around Melbourne. Melbourne is blessed with community radio. But, of course, this station broadcasts via the net all over the place now, which is fantastic. It's not so localised. So there is a broader application for progressive thinking, for trying to shift what is a very conservative mindset right across the Western world, including in Australia, and shifting it back towards being a more inclusive
right across the dominant media. Exactly.
And that's what our role is, and that's what the role of the listeners is to share, become part of this process, to help shift attitudes, and it's best done by supporting programs like this.
Congratulations on your glorious win, Kevin.
Thank you.
Shout outs to our good friends at the Australian Labor Party, official political party of the 3CR community radio station.
Yep, friend of the show, Anthony
friend
Albanese.
Of the show. Yeah.
Well, the last
Kevin that listener, was in- maybe if you're listening, Albo, you could ring in and pitch in to the radiothon.
I reckon you'd like that. We've had an ALP politician on our show before. Jed Carney, and she was very good. Very understanding. She, I think, it, like the ALP cops a lot of criticism, and rightly so. It has been captured by neoliberalism to a large degree. However, I think if you delve into the ALP membership and the people in the ALP, and I was a member of the ALP for about 20 years or so, so I'm speaking from some factual basis, is that there are plenty of people in that organisation who would like to go a lot further, but they need to have. They need to know that they're supported. They need to know that there's a forum for their thoughts and their discussion, which is so controlled by things like the Murdoch media, where if you say anything which doesn't fit within their program, you're going to get lambasted. These little outposts that we have here allow those conversations to have a forum, to be accepted, and to develop. And that's really, really important. And so if we can help progress the mindsets of people within the ALP who are now in power, we could possibly have a more progressive society.
Well, you'd love to see it. I think the other thing about just the kind of conversations we have here on 3CR Community Radio is like the breadth of presenters that we've got, you know, like not just particularly our show, like I'm proud to be a transgender person, you know, on the radio, which is like fantastic. And 3CR for 2 years running now has put on a Trans Day of Audibility around the Trans Visibility Week with all trans presenters and that kind of thing. But we've got so many like community language shows and things like that, and people really like reporting on what's going on, you know, from their home countries, you know, like in the language right now, you know, when things have popped off in Chile and Argentina and Colombia and stuff. We've had people, you know, who have lived there, who have family there, speaking about that, you know, which is like such a precious thing for the really diverse community that we have, you know, here in Victoria and Melbourne, but also, you know, like just giving people that voice instead of constantly being spoken for. I think that's the most amazing thing that we've got going here at 3CR. Hey?
And it doesn't happen without support. You know, we really do need a basic level of support, because having been around 3CR studios long enough now to see that they run a pretty lean operation. So all of that money is really going into making these shows happen. There is no extravagance, I can tell you, at 3CR. And so I was looking at one of their little stats, because as an economic show, I am attracted to the odd stat. I was noticing that it does cost about $100 per hour of airtime. And that's a pretty good deal, $100 for an hour of airtime. And I have to say, part of that might be, do either of you get paid to do your show?
No.
None of that money is coming towards the presenters. All of that money is going to all the necessary things, like the broadcasting license and all of those things that a radio station needs to keep going. So that's where your money will be going. We are not buying gummy bears with that money.
No, and like in terms of it's a lean operation, you're right, Anne, but it's also a very smooth operation. Like you know, there's three or four staff members here who do just incredible work, you know, and they
highly dedicated 24/7 almost, yeah.
Almost 24/7, which, you know, as a union program, hey, they should get some time off, I think.
We all got to be paying them overtime, hey?
Yeah. But we can't afford to pay them overtime. They should go on strike. We should shut the station down.
That's right.
No. But like it just over the course of the pandemic, like UMob started just before it kind of came in. I was probably presenting for about a year before that. But the transition to recording from home and, you know, that was one thing to start with. You know, we're sharing a lot of like WeTransfer links and getting that happening. And with that same kind of, you know, skeleton crew of people, the process of uploading shows has just become so much more smoother and just seamless. And now, you know, like it's like they've risen to that challenge. Some of the money that they've had has gone towards installing like HEPA filters and stuff to make the studio a safe place, because yeah, we've got a lot of immunocompromised and disabled presenters here at 3CR as well. Yeah. And we need to keep them safe, you know? So it's like, it doesn't just all get eaten up in wages and registration fees and stuff. It's also about like making sure that everyone can present, like that, you know, that there's no reason for anyone across any section of society to not be able to present a show on 3CR community radio.
And accessibility aspect is really important, isn't it? And like you say, it's a physical thing, and it's also it also includes the listeners. Like, I've never come across a radio station that is so inviting of people to actually walk into the studio and say, you know, come in and say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, in fact, if you'd like to donate in person, you can do that as well, just by dropping into the station at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy.
Where was that again, Anne? I missed that.
21 Smith Street, Fitzroy, Kevin. You're not paying attention today.
I'm always very distracted. You know me, Anne. Always very distracted. So, yeah, no, and it's a good neck of the woods. I live on the other side of town. It's nice to have a reason to come north side too. There's more culture over here. You just have to go through St Kilda at the moment. The place is a ghost town. It's terrible. It used to have culture. Everybody's moved north side. So come over north side, hit up Smith Street, and as you're walking past, just drop in.
For sure.
Yeah. So really wanted to play this song on the radio. You know, we're recording a little bit out from when it's actually going to air. But this is by Julie Cruz. She did some amazing work with David Lynch for the wonderful soap opera Twin Peaks. She's just passed away today, which is very sad. I'm an amazing musician, amazing singer, and rest in peace, Julie Cruise. This one's called Rockin' Back Inside My Heart. And hang on for like maybe like halfway, two-thirds through the song, there's this like saxophone thing that swells up. It'll break your heart. Check it out.
3CR Radiothon 2022. Keep community strong.
We need your financial support to be independent, community-controlled and focused on people rather than profits.
Your support during Radiothon keeps the station strong and enables us to give voice to hundreds of people and issues for another year.
And remember, any amount you can afford makes a big difference, and all donations over $2 are tax-deductible.
3CR Radiothon, show your support during June 2022.
3CR, keep community strong. Throughout the month of June, we'll be asking you, the listener, to support radical, community-owned media during our Radiothon.
We'll be taking donations online, over the phone, and in the station to help keep 3CR going for another year.
Independent community media is vital, and we need your support to keep community strong.
To donate, go to 3cr.org.au, call the station on 03 9419 8377,
or drop in at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy, during business hours.
3CR, keep community strong.
Well, the thing about money is always used, like it funnels a system that we genuinely don't like. And so I have this kind of disdain for money because most of the time it ends up going to the wrong people. You're always forking it out, giving out all this. You get money, and as soon as you get it, it has to go somewhere else. And it's going to people that you don't want it to go to. So the best way to get rid of your money is to give it to people that you do want to give it to. It would be like 3CR. So if you have the same disdain for money that I have, which is rather large, and you just need to get rid of it, give it to us and we'll put it to good use. And then you'll feel good about the system just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're all good people. We deserve it.
But we don't get it.
We don't get it. No, but we benefit from it.
We benefit because we get to walk into the studio. Well, I'll tell you one thing I do like about the studio is I've been working in events for quite some time, and a lot of the equipment has become computerized and updated. And you walk in and the dials and the knobs have been replaced with buttons and LEDs and the rest of it. And then I walked into 3CR and there's this fantastic console that was secondhand a long time ago when they got it, and it's still going, like it's still working. And some of the things need a bit of adjustment and a bit of maintenance, and they've got good maintenance people here that look after stuff. It does all work, but there's a nice classic old console there with faders and buttons and dials and meters, etc., that ticks along. One day it may get replaced with something newer and swisher, but in the meantime it rolls along, and the maintenance guys who need a budget to keep things working look after it quite well. So that's one thing I like about 3CR.
It'll be a sad day when that console goes out the pasture in Studio One. It's such a beautiful piece of equipment. I love the big knobs that you get to turn, and it's very, you know, you really feel like you're on the radio when you're presenting live at 3CR. It's
There's not an LED on it anywhere. There's no computerization involved with that console. It's all hardwired, soldered underneath there, I'm sure.
And as someone who's grown up, producing a lot of audio and music and stuff digitally, it's really nice to have a console where, like, occasionally clipping into the red is just a nice, you know, tone thing, where, like, just an analog desk where you push it into the red and it's warm instead of clipping. It's great.
I ram it into the red quite often, and apparently it's okay. But I don't know, like, it's you got to look after it, but it's often the needle's just, if it's not in the red enough, but then I think it's a little bit too soft and needs to be rammed back up there. Am I doing wrong?
No, it sounds like you're doing it right. Let's go hard.
Go hard.
Hard into the red. For those of you who are not sure, just imagine the speedometer on a vehicle. If you're not sure what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And we're ramming it into about 200K.
The taco. It's in the red the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. So 03 9419 8377. Now's the time to pick up your phone. I know you want to be listening to us, but you can also talk to one of our lovely volunteers who are very happy to take your credit card number.
Absolutely. Give us money today.
We're all looking for inspiration now. So it's 3CR, 3 Community Radio. And you were speaking about this before, Tilda, about the sense of community. I mean, I get a little bit focused on the whole political thing, because I think I'd be described as what's called a maddie, or a left obsessed by something a little bit too much. But as you say, this is a community radio station, and I sometimes don't. It's often a difficult station to listen to continuously, because the programs change quite a lot. They go from one forum to another. Like straight after ours, we've got Mafalda with Vicky, and that's a show in Chilean, and I don't understand the language. So if I was listening, I'd have trouble transitioning from one to the other. But the amount of people that do listen to her show covers a whole new spectrum. It's part of the broader community, and it goes from one topic or one section to another, and it's very inclusive of a broader community, rather than focusing in on some of the mundane stuff that you hear on commercial radio, which targets a particular type of audience and just sits there the whole way through and plays the same songs over and over again. There's no variety, no inclusiveness of fringes or anything else. They're just there to sell advertising. That's not what we do. We involve the whole community. We have different ethnicities, different sexual orientations. We cater for the fringes, and that's what makes 3CR special, which I really like.
I was going to switch gears, unless you were
great. Yeah, all right, let's switch.
Yeah. Okay. So this money stuff that we're all very jaded about, and one of the reasons, you know, Kevin, you were saying it often goes to the wrong people. And so one of the reasons I've heard for that is this word that gets thrown around, neoliberalism. And you and I often throw that word around, Kevin. And sort of almost to describe anything, you know, that we don't like. You know, if your lemonade goes flat, it's neoliberalism.
Bloody neoliberals. Yeah.
It's those bloody neoliberals. But I did have someone ask me the other day just what neoliberalism is. So I wrote a list, Kevin. You know my habit.
yes, this will be good. This will be very analytical, very thorough. Here we go.
I'm writing a list. So neoliberalism is many things. And I'll go through the four main things and we can sort of break them apart more if we like. It's an economic program. It is a political project. It is an ideology. And it is a bunch of techniques for, I'd say, taking over the economic and political system. So as an economic program, which is what we often focus on, but we haven't actually done a good dissection of neoliberalism before. But the economic program includes about five main characteristics that has come to us in various ways and means. So one is deregulation, another is privatization, another is austerity, which means cutting spending, and another one, which we often don't hear about, is trade liberalization, so-called. So all of these are coming out of an ideology where there's this belief that the market is a natural phenomenon that can happen without intervention. If all of the utility maximizing individuals just run around doing their own thing, then the sum that's greater than the parts will be the market. And the best thing that government can do is to stay out of it. And so they get, so out of that belief system, you get an ideology which looks at, or sorry, you get an economic program which is looking at deregulation. So what does deregulation mean? That means that you're saying that the government doesn't need to make laws. But what we find from the MMT perspective is that every market is created, or at least supported by government regulation. And, you know, Tilda, we were talking about the Workforce Australia coming in.
Oh, yes.
And that would be a classic example of how government creates a market.
It certainly is. For listeners at home who might not be familiar with the Workforce Australia project that's coming up, it's going to come into place the 1st of July, if all going to plan, and can't really see any reason why it wouldn't. The ALP voted to approve its legislation in the previous government, so I don't think they're going to turn around and scrap it in the next fortnight or so. But it's a new system of what's called, I think, somewhat cynically, mutual obligations, wherein unemployed people need to do a certain number of activities to prove that they deserve any assistance with the cost of living at all, you know, any welfare. So at the moment, what that might look like is signing on to a job plan where you're required to show up to an interview with your job service provider once a fortnight, once a month, apply for a certain amount of jobs. You know, you could maybe alter that to say, hey, I'm training at the moment, so I don't have to look for any jobs, that kind of thing. At the moment, that's how it works, is you negotiate a job plan with your job service provider when you're receiving the job seeker.
Right. Payment. You're required to do this by law if you want to get unemployment benefits.
And it's a horrible system as it stands, but we do have the ability to negotiate that. Like the, you know, it says in the deed for the Act that you need to, like a job plan needs to be tailored to the individual. The new plan that's coming in is a points-based system. You need 100 points to get it done. And so, you know, and there's a bunch of different activities you can do. So applying for a job is 5 points. You need 100 points every month. So there's 20 jobs that you need to apply for. Whether you're fit to apply for 20 jobs or not, you know, like at the moment, for example, when I used to be on JobSeeker with a disability employment service provider, you know, I had that reduced to like 8 jobs a month or 12 jobs a month because, you know, I'm not well. I can't like can't do all that. This is
how
just
generous,
like,
of them. How empathetic.
How empathetic. But now it's just like across the board, you need to get these points. And I think one of the most concerning parts of it is that an activity like work for the dole or an activity like education, if you're, you know, doing for example, a pre-apprenticeship at TAFE, a certificate 2, so you can get into a certificate 3. Certificate 3 would get you put onto a different part of the welfare system, which would be more of a student's payment. Certificate 2 is not recognized as being, you know, but you can be full-time studying a certificate 2. That only gets you 80 points a month. So you're studying full-time. You can be working for free full-time at work for the dole. That only gets you 80 points a month. You still need to take on other activities on top of all
so
of
this.
So this
100 points a month is like designed for people who've cloned themselves and can like have two lives of full-time activity doing something.
Absolutely. And we know that there is, you know, that probably, or that there's a huge amount of people who are disabled but are ineligible for the disability support pension. So they're all being exposed to this system, and it's, you know, as you were saying, like one of the, you know, there's market deregulation going on everywhere, and like I guess we see that in the kind of neoliberalization of the provision of welfare, that, you know, there's all these private companies who actually you know, administer this system, whereas it used to be kind of like the Commonwealth Employment Services would do it, you know, and it, that's all been privatized. But the amount of regulation upon the people who are in the system, that only ever seems to go up. That,
like... Ironic, isn't it? Where the regulation seems to pop up.
Yeah.
And so I do think one of the reasons that I am still very inspired to do shows about the unemployment system is because most people do not know, you know, when they're jumping up and down about corruption in government and spending, and I'll hear someone say, oh, they just spent $10 million upgrading a tennis court somewhere that didn't need doing. And I think $10 million, that is pocket change compared to the rot that is going on with these employment, well, these so-called employment services, which really function to institutionally abuse anyone who is in need of social welfare payments. And you look at the numbers involved in that, and we've seen about $6 billion in the last five-year contract. So we're talking billions of dollars involved in making people jump through the hoops that Tilda was just mentioning. To me, that's one of the greatest misspendings that is happening in the economy.
Do you know what it reminds me of a bit? I had a mate that worked as a techie on one of those reality TV shows where they go out and torture people on an island and make life really hard for them. The employment services sound like the technical crew.
And the next generation, Kevin, they'll be giving us cameras. Who sit there
with their backstage catering and just thinking of ways to torture the attendees, yeah. Sometimes who are celebrities or yeah. quite often not.
You'll be able to earn 10 points by turning your camera on.
Yeah. It really is like that. And I think one of the missed opportunities, you know, if we're going to talk about neoliberalism in Australia, you know, what it's resulted in, and I think the biggest development of it was, Hawke Keating years and the introduction of the Prices and Incomes Accord, you know, absolutely smashing the ability of the union movement and working people to influence the market at all in terms of, you know, the price of their own labour. And that has just been completely decimated over a long time. But with the situation we're faced with now, with like soaring inflation and increasing people kind of out of the workforce, a real demand for labor, the trade union movement needs to realize that unemployed work is real, that the Reserve Army of Labor has a real amount of power now. And if they do want to, you know, increase, you know, living standards for working people across the board, it starts with the people down at the bottom, and it starts with the people who are being, you know, forced into this workforce for often sub-minimum wages. And, you know, like, and all of us find ourselves there at some point, you know. But it's like, for whatever reason, it's kind of seen as like the anti-poverty movement in Australia is seen as antagonistic towards the wage labor movement. And it has been historically going way back, you know, like there's still bullet holes in Trades Hall about some of this stuff, you know. But like now's the time to wake up. If we're going to kind of really exert some influence on this situation, like we need to realize that the Reserve Army of Labor, the people who are out of paid labor at the moment, are the key to unlocking so much for the trade union movement.
Where are you on the idea of the job guarantee? Because that's where I tend to go as a way of undoing the use of unemployed labor to drive down wages and conditions. And so I'm often championing it on our Friday, but I'm not sure what your Friday would do with that.
I think it's a reasonable idea. Like, I think there's issues with both job guarantees and UBIs and the way that in their implementation they can come into kind of conflict with essentially with controlling inflation and like labor's demands of rising wages. Those two ideas can come into conflict, I think, sometimes. But broadly, like, there is no reason why. There's plenty of work to be done. There's no reason why people can't get minimum wages for doing, you know, any of the myriad of things that would just improve our society so much.
Yeah, I think we agree.
So long as it's not a coercive system, so long as it's a system where you're able to say...
It has to be voluntary.
It has to be voluntary. And those people have to have the means to withdraw their labor to demand better. You know, if there's a system that forces people into that work, whether through, you know, threat of poverty or and destitution or just, you know, other kinds of force, you know, if we trade off, okay, everyone's got a standard of living, but they, you know, but we clamp down harder, even harder on the right to strike and stuff. I think that's going in the wrong direction. Like, there's a needs to be a fundamental human right to withdraw your labor and demand better.
But that's a broad
context is everything. Yep.
Yeah, the broader issue of the loss of workers to strike, that's something which has been eroded over years. Yeah. And you're talking about being forced to work to stay out of poverty. I guess that's across the board as well. We of course, on our show, we regard unemployment, the current unemployment regime, as just a way to put downward pressure on wages. It's a way to torture people who don't have work to make other people who do have work succumb to whatever conditions that they are placed upon them. Otherwise, they'll end up as unemployed. And you don't want to be unemployed because that's terrible. Unemployment is made to be terrible to put downward pressure on wages. So that's everything else is just a facade. All of these service providers, et cetera, they're just I don't know, it's amazing how many of them are kind of connected with the political system some way.
Well,
You know, those service providers, the only effect they have on unemployment is keeping themselves employed by torturing the real unemployed. That's their position, really.
Mm. Shout outs to friend of the show, Serena Russo. Congratulations, babe. You know, official job service provider of the Sewer Show.
Oh, yeah. You know, it does take, you know, at least... there's nothing like a little bout of unemployment to wake you up to the fact that class warfare is a thing, which is which was my trajectory. I was quite innocent of all of this until I saw how the unemployed were treated and it started getting into the economics and the political economy behind it. So, so as we do say on our show, we never talk about things like Workforce Australia and all the craziness involved in it without remembering that the whole point of it is to do that economic thing of driving down wages and conditions, which is a form of class warfare.
Absolutely. And you're mentioning kind of like the ideological components of neoliberalism a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think like part of it, particularly in a, you know, as like a cultural kind of construction in Australia, a lot of it is this like Protestant work ethic thing. You know, if you're not working, you're not good. You know, like it's supposed to be, you know, your reason for living, everyone just goes to work. But like, I think fundamentally the progress we've made, and you can see it in the differential between, you know, profit and productivity, where productivity's gone, wages and productivity, where productivity's gone through the roof and wages have kind of like flatlined for decades now.
Mm. Where's all that gone? What does that equal? That equals profit. Where's that gone? Well, it hasn't gone to the workers, has it? So
And that's, you know, where are the benefits from any of this? You know, shouldn't we all be working less? Shouldn't, you know, if we've got all this automation, you know, you see in the supermarkets and increase, you know, airports and everything, you know, you check in your own baggage, you do all the, you know, why is that not, you know, why is that a threat to people? shouldn't it be, oh, great, I only got to work 20 hours a week now. But instead people are working more than full time and people are, you know, like struggling to get by. It doesn't translate at this point.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't that long ago that we were seeing the 40-hour week reduced to the 38, then 37 and a half, then 35-hour week, and that was kind of a pretty hot topic during the 90s and the rest of it. Mm. But since then, it seems to have gone back the other way, which is to say that some people are working more and more and earning more and more, and other people are being left out there on the gig economy and scratching together some sort of casualized existence, which is always substandard. We're seeing this divide, and this is the very nature of neoliberalism. It's all about individuals maximizing their economic potential. Of course, the flip side is that is usually at somebody else's expense. It's not a shared philosophy. It's not a community kind of involvement. So it's the exact opposite of how we feel at 3CR. Yeah. So that's what 3CR to me is about. It's to fight the whole purpose of neoliberalism, and that's why people should support us at the station here.
Mm. How about we throw to another song? I got this one by Tim Barry. It's called Banker's Dilemma. It's about a guy who lost his job and has decided not to pay any more of his bills. And I just think it's cool. It's you know, skipping out on his car payments and skipping out on his mortgage and just not bothering with the rest of it.
I want to be that song. That sounds good.
Yeah, I lost my job today, and that's worth celebrating. Yeah, I lost my job today, and that's worth celebrating. I ain't working no more, so credit companies take warning. I went and blew off my mortgage today, and that's worth celebrating. Yeah, I blew off my mortgage today, and that's worth celebrating. And in 3 months they will foreclose. So for 3 months and for free, I'll be staying. And when I go, no one will know. I'll creep off like
sense of relief in a crap ton of empty bottles. Come on. Today, and that's worth celebrating. Yeah, I stole my car today, and that's worth celebrating. I ain't paying that interest no more, and this thing's steady rolling. Matter of fact, I ain't paying none of y'all back, and when I go, cat, blow off all the rest I owe, and when I go, there won't be no trail to follow, just a lingering sense of relief in a crap ton of empty bottles.
CR Radiothon 2022. 3CR. Keep community strong.
3CR Radiothon Fundraiser, June 2022.
To donate, call 03-9419-8377 or donate online at 3cr.org.au.
3CR Radiothon 2022. Keep community strong.
Did you know that each donation over $2 you make to 3CR's Radiothon is tax deductible? That means that when you're doing your tax return business, you can claim your 3CR donation as a legitimate tax deduction. To make a pledge to this year's Radiothon, call the station on 9419 8377 or donate online at 3cr.org.au/donate.
3CR Radiothon 2022. Keep community strong.
Speaking about the divides and things, I think one practical example of how we've seen that play out over the pandemic has been the difference between people who, you know, are more likely to have these, if not like full-time, then very regular hours at work, who have had the ability to work remotely from home, and then the people working the lowest paid jobs who are constantly in contact with the public, who, you know, like so deregulated, like retail and hospitality industries, have never had the option of working from home, and also don't have that option of like the flexibility of like, oh, I might work a 4-day week, or, you know, like I know I've got a contract with this many hours kind of thing. Like I've switched from one category into the other. I'm working admin now, get to work from home a lot. And the difference is just so stark. It's so stark, which again, like coming back to the 3CR thing, it's just the incredible way that they've like risen to the challenge of like giving people the option to work from home. You know, this is work that we're doing, volunteering our time to, you know, produce all this wonderful content for the station. They've really considered that, you know, and it like, not every workplace does, not every workplace can. But it's one of these ways where, you know, you give on the one hand, but then people who've got the least to give are just thrown straight back into the meat grinder, you know, and that comes out in terms of like who's getting infected with COVID, who's getting reinfected with COVID, who doesn't have sick leave and has to like return to the workforce while they're experiencing like, you know, fatigue and these kind of things, and potentially risking like lifelong neurological damage, you know.
There's a real stratification in the workforce, isn't there? And the pandemic really showed it up. Yeah. I was listening to Richard Wolff on, he does an economic update.
Oh, yeah.
And he is a self-confessed Marxist economist. And he was describing a situation in the US during the pandemic where some of the meat works, some of the meat industry were actually at the table with the, with Trump at the time, and were able to insist that the abattoirs kept open during the lockdowns. Mm. And they were complaining that if they didn't, you know, people wouldn't be able to get their food, etc. Then he gave us the stats on how many people were getting sick and also the death toll from COVID by people who had to work in these abattoirs. And then on top of that, because there was an inquiry into it, and on top of that, this is what shocks me. It's like, I always think there's nothing is going to shock me about economics. It just happens, you know, there'll be one story after another. And then it turns out that these very same companies did have a stockpile of meat and they didn't actually have to keep the abattoirs open. So how's that for treating your working class?
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't want to end up on I don't know if we can turn this into a positive story here. But we're nearly getting to the hour too.
Things are positive, Anne, because I was watching the television yesterday and I watched a little family that had been locked away for years and years on the other side of the country return to the little town. And it generally brought a tear to my eye. It was lovely to see. There are these little moments of hope. We can see little bits of change, little bits of progression. It's probably not a bad time to be interesting to see how we're going in 10 years' time. The only cautionary note that I'd put to that is I felt the same after Howard was voted out. I thought, finally the Australian population has come to their senses and we'll never be in the situation again. But this time it feels better. It feels like we've got the Greens involved. We've got these independents involved. It feels like there's a genuine appreciation, a genuine need. People understand that we need to change. And that's somewhat through the environment, somewhat through after COVID, and people are just reevaluating how they do stuff. But there seems to be an optimism if you're a progressive that the change may actually be taking hold this time properly.
I think the beautiful thing, yeah, very optimistic. And I think the beautiful thing about the Bilo family, you know, like I remember like 4 or 5 years ago, you know, that was kind of first kicking off and they were getting kicked out of Bilawela and all that, you know, and working at Officeworks and people, you know, coming in to print off their like, you know, home to Bilo signs and that kind of thing. Like across the country, there was this community response and that's really what's kept the pressure up, you know, made that a decision that the ALP is happy to take, you know, as compared to like the people who are still on Nauru and Manus and in the other detention centers, you know, onshore and off. The community pressure on that one really came together and it was, you know, people from all different kind of walks of life saying that, why can't these people stay, you know? And that's the beautiful thing about having a community voice, you know, bringing it right back to the start, Kevin, you know, what's our impact? It's about building these connections in our community and realizing what we like value together and that's the building block, you know, what we hold in common, that's what we can start pushing for if we want to get that change. So
absolutely. Yeah. So yes, and you're warming my heart. I feel like we're a little community of sewers today. So
yeah.
So I just do a wrap up, just start wrapping up, or should you want to keep going?
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, so thanks for joining us for the hour. I hope you enjoyed our little gathering. We certainly did and really appreciate it. Like, actually, if you've just got $5 to throw our way, it is truly a heartwarming thing to see that kind of support. So whatever you can offer, we hope that you'll help us keep the sewer show going.
We missed our target last year, Anne. We came in under. We said I can't remember what the level was, but we came in under. So the pressure's on the sewer team this year to lift our game, to show that we can garnish the support from the listeners. That's you and that's me too, because I contribute because I listen to other shows. So we all need to chip in and help, and we need to do better than we did last year. So we just implore you, whatever you can possibly chuck our way this year, we'd be very much appreciated.
It's an odd thing being a show that's kind of targeted at unemployed workers who are living, you know, well below the poverty line. Like, please give us
everything you got. Well, we've got nothing.
Give us your lunch money.
This is the flip side to it. We're only speaking to people who can afford to chip in. If you can't afford to chip in, that's totally understandable. We're not here to lay guilt trips on people. If you can't afford to chip in, please don't. I mean, look after yourself first. We're speaking to people who can afford it. We want everybody to listen. We're very inclusive. We're just asking the people who can afford to chip in.
And the wonderful thing about 3CR Community Radio, it's run by volunteers, right? If you can't chip in, you know, with your Centrelink money, there's plenty of ways to help 3CR stay on the air, you know, by you know, coming into the station, working the desk, you know, things like this, working the phones, whatever you can do, there's a place for you at 3CR and might even help you work towards those Workforce Australia points. So
there you go.
Yeah, or just tell your mates to listen to the station. Tell your rich mates to listen to the station and get them to chip in. That'll do.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see you next Radiothon, guys.
Yeah.
Been a total pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's been lovely being on the show together for a change.
Yeah, yeah. I should do it again sometime.
Yeah.
Mantengamos la fuerza en la comunidad. Keep community strong. El time ya llegó. Time to donate. 3CR Radiothon 2022. El time ya llegó. Time to donate. 3CR Radiothon 2022. Radiothon needs you now. Go to 3cr.org.au. Radiothon needs you now. Go to 3cr.org.au. And if for some reason you didn't understand all that, it's Radiothon 2022. It's time to donate. To do this, go to www.3cr.org.au and pledge your donation. We love you. We need you. Keep the community strong.